Can play that piano, can't you? Beats all I ever seen. Got your Bible this morning. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10. But I'm going to back up and do a little something in a few moments that bring us up to date. But I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, how can I be saved? Now, we've made a mission trip to Peru, and we've had a vacation Bible school, and the excitement's been great, and the work's been fantastic. You've spread the gospel in a tremendous way, you know, in our hearts and our lives. But there's a lot of people that need to know the Lord. And as good as God has been to us, I feel like Paul, when Paul was writing to the Romans, and he made this statement to them in verse 1 of chapter 10 of Romans. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Bexley is they might be saved." This community, this surroundings here, most of them are our own flesh and blood. They're our kinfolks, need the Lord, and are going to die and spend an eternity in torment for their rejection of what's happening. And I believe if you and I get our hearts right as far as spreading that gospel, sharing that good news, and dealing with them in our hearts and our lives, they can come a long way in doing what God wants us to do and reaching them in our hearts and our lives. But one of the questions, you know, that I think keeps so many folks from sharing their testimony or witnessing to their families or their neighbors or whoever is the fear of might be asked or put in a position of not knowing the answer. Well, let me tell you something, Brother Larry don't always know the answer either. And many, many other great scholars don't have always. But God said he put the very words in our mouth. We go out in obedience to him and do what he says for us to do. He'd do that. So there's a couple of things I want to point out to you, and then I'm going to back you up to chapter 1 and read something to you. But in the second verse here, he said, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Their thinking is wrong. The way they see things. And one of the key instruments in that I found in my studies is the difference between grace and faith. You see, the Romans, they wanted to skip the most important part of salvation for them. They've been living under the law. They didn't have any transcript of the New Testament yet that had been printed out to where they could have that to study by concerning the New Testament yet. So they had a zeal for God. But the scripture says it was not according to knowledge. The key thing they left out was they did not believe in Jesus. They recognized God, but they did not recognize Jesus. Who died for our sins? Jesus did, didn't he? And so the difference is, grace is God's unmerited favor toward us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us on that cross. We sang the songs Amazing Grace, and we nowadays got two or three versions of part Amazing Grace along with other stanzas to go with it and the things. But in our hearts and our lives, Do we truly understand that grace and what he did for us? God loved us enough that he gave his only begotten. He reincarnated himself into the form of a man through a virgin birth, went and lived a sinless life, died on a cross, shed his blood for our sins on that cross, was buried in a barred tomb, right? Rose after 3 days, ascended back to the Father after 40. Where is he now? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's sitting right there interceding, the scripture says, for us. That word interceding means he's praying for us in our hearts and our lives. Grace, God's unmerited favor toward us. We didn't deserve it. It was a price that he didn't have to pay, but he chose to do so. Why? Because he loved his Father, and he wanted to be obedient to his Father. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. After we truly come to the realization that the one that died for us is the Lord, is Jesus, and that he was buried, he arose again, and he ascended back to the Father, and he's interceding for us, then we live by faith. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen God. But I live in hope that one day what's going to happen? I'm going to meet him. I'm going to see him. Listen to what else he said. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and not realizing that there's a difference between grace and there's a difference in faith. He said they being ignorant of God's righteousness and what he did for us. What is righteousness? I've taught you that many times. What's morally proper in the sight of God? God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. I want to stop there for a moment. You know, you can talk to a lot of folks about their relationship with the Lord and stuff, and they've come up with a plan for their righteousness in their lives. Here, that's what they were doing here in the Romans. As he is talking to the children of Israel, he said, they go about to establish their own righteousness, their own way of serving God, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, I hear a lot of folks, they'll say things like, well, I've been a good man. I've always tried to live right and do right. And, you know, if I find my neighbors in a bind and needs help, I'm always willing to help. We come up with all these things that we feel like in our hearts and our lives going to get us into the pearly gates. Wrong. What did he say here? They went about establishing their own righteousness, but they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They skipped a key element. What was that? Asking Jesus to forgive them of their sins. He's the one that died for us, isn't he? He's the one that went to that cross. He said here in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem and grew up and lived and died for our sins, he replaced Old Testament law. But these folks, not having New Testament understanding yet because they didn't have the scriptures, they wanted to go back and they wanted to refer Moses over and over again of what he's doing. And he said, Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness to everyone that did what? Believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, Old Testament, that the man which doeth those things will live by them. But the righteousness, listen to this now, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Not only did some of the children of Israel not believe in Jesus, they didn't believe in their resurrection. And they said, you know, who come up with that cock and bull story? That he was crucified on him. We all watched it. We saw him die. And we heard and we spoke to Joseph about coming there and getting him down off that cross and taking him and burying him in his own tomb. He didn't even have a tomb for him. And that they said the next day, too, the stone was rolled away and he is out. Gone. Who believed that? They said here, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on no wise. Who shall ascend into heaven or who shall descend from the deep? He's talking about coming from heaven and going to hell and coming back from hell to go back to what's going on. What was Jesus doing? He is paying your sin debt and my sin debt when he was doing what was happening. Verse 8 said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even into thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul said, if you don't get anything else I tell you this morning, I want you to pay close attention to what he's fixing to say, okay? He said, what saith it? The word is nigh thee. What God is trying to tell us in our Christian walk and for those that have never trusted him as Lord and Savior, he said the word is nigh. It's even in your mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Where's the word of faith at? In our mouth and in our heart. Explain that, Brother Larry. I'll let the scripture explain it to you. Listen to what it said. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. What do you got to do? He said that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Who? The Baptist Church? That ain't what it said. Brother Larry, that ain't Bexley, no. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when these Romans and other Israelites as well. There's some Israelites, some Jews there along. Paul's mainly speaking to the Gentile nation there. But there's others that are there. And he's saying that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's what he meant when he said unto us, you know, the whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. He's going to be my lawyer. He's going to be my defense when I stand before God. And you've heard my testimony about asking the Lord to reveal me how it's going to be. You know, and he said, I'm going to ask you one question, Larry, and that's why I should enter, allow you entrance into my heaven. There's only one reason why he should enter, give me that entrance. That's because I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And I confessed him with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that he is who he said he was, the Son of God. And he came and took upon himself the form of a man. Any argument about that? Grew up from a babe into a child. And from that childhood to adulthood, to go into that cross and dying for our sin. You know, I just think about it. These guys, people, non-believers, after all that God had done for them in their hearts and their lives, and yet they want to back up on God and say, well, I believe in God, but this part about this virgin birth, and no, we're going to stick with Moses. Moses said we just live by the law, and as long as we didn't do this, that, and the other, everything's going to be all right, you know. They weren't ready to move from where they were to where God wanted them to be. My question to us this morning, are we ready? Are we ready to move from where we are to where God wants us to be? Doing what he wants us to do? Listen what he said. He said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We want to make it some complicated, hard something to do, when it's just as simple as falling off a log backwards. You know, all you have to do is call upon the Lord. How you do that? He said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was the Son of God, thou shalt be saved. Now, I want you to turn back with me, if you don't mind, for just a moment to chapter 1. And the next few moments that I have, I want to point out to you some things that are taking place. Paul had been wanting to get to Rome for forever. When he finally made it there, it was a rough trip. You remember all the things he went through? He advised them, hey, it's too rough to see, you better not go. Took off anyway. He was bound in chains and fetters in that ship. What happened? They got out there on the Sea of Life, and what happened? Things got tough, didn't it? Ship began to break apart. They began to throw off their wares, get rid of things. Finally was driven ashore. All got snake bit. On and on and on it went. For him getting from where he was to where he wanted to be, and that's down there in Rome, in his heart and his life. He's getting there. Here's what he tells them. Look at verse 8 of chapter 1. First, I want to thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith, there's that word faith, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. They were getting a lot of attention down there, and because of the things that Jesus, if somebody's eyes were blinded from birth, and they then were a grown man, and all of a sudden somebody touched their eyes with a little mud or something, they went and washed and could see. The leper could cleanse. All these things. Don't you think that'd make the 6 o'clock news of seeing that? You know? Miracles are happening all over Bexley. God's moving. He's doing. He said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul was praying, desiring the gospel of his Son, not the gospel that Paul might want, but he is preaching Jesus. Make him request that if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Now, he said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end that you may be established, That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual, what's that word? Faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. He said, oh, I wanted to come, but they had me bound. I couldn't make it. I love to preach the gospel to you. I love to see some of you saved. I love to have some fruit down there in Rome. Verse 14, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians. Remember them barbarians that was up there when he got snake bit? He shook it off. What did them barbarians do? They were standing around, they was watching him, looking at him, thinking, he's supposed to die. He shook that snake off. He ain't even showing a sign of it. Acts like he's sick. What's going on? What's God doing? Working in his midst, isn't he? He said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Oh, he's loaded for bear. He's ready. If he can just get to them, he said, I'm going to shuck down the corn. Look at verse 16. Can you say this? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that, what's that word? Believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was offered to the Jew. They rejected it. They refused to believe in Jesus. They were looking for the Messiah and had him right there in their midst. And what did they do with him? Crucified him. Crucified him. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the saved, the born again shall live by faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. The Lord saved me, and I put my faith and my trust in him to do his will for my life. And I started following. I stumbled, I failed, I sinned, I done wrong. Every time I could ask him and he'd forgive me, cleanse me. Because we're not perfect. We're just forgiven in our hearts and our lives. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. But listen, those that refuse to believe. Verse 18 said, for the wrath or the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all of ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Not righteousness, but unrighteousness. All those that go about doing their thing in their way. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He revealed himself in three ways. Help me name them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Right? He said even his internal power and Godhead, his three in one, so that they are without excuse. I'm telling you, when the Lord asks some folks why they ought to be there, they're going to have no excuse. He said because that when they knew God, when they had the opportunity to trust him as Lord and Savior, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Satan said, all you got to do is just go along, get along, show up once or twice a month if you can. You know, throw a few dollars in the plate, you know. Let your wife drag you off down there and do whatever. Professing themselves to be wise, they become what? Fools. Fools because they missed the opportunity to spend an eternity in paradise. And they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Man, they had an idol for everything you could think of. All kinds of things. You know, even in the scripture it says they even made one to the unknown God. And just in case we miss somebody, we made one and put on there, it's for the unknown God. They want to make sure they're touching all the bases. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the desire of God for their heart into the lust of their own heart, what they wanted, how they wanted, when they wanted in their lives. And when they changed the resurrection, when they changed that he was not God's son, when they changed whatever they used, what were they doing in their lives? Verse 25 tells you. I can't tell you any plainer than what it tells you. Listen to what it says. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They change the truth of God. When you try to change the gospel, the Word of God, and you try to do it man's way instead of God's way, you're changing the Word of God. You're living a lie. You're living a lie. And you worship and you serve the creature. Oh, I'm telling you, there's many a person today that's somewhere beside the house of God. Why? Because their heart is not in the right place. They've changed God's word. And they're living, and this is not Brother Larry's words, this is God's word. They're living a lie. Living a lie. One day, you're going to look God in the face. And that lie is not going to hold water, is it? What did he say? There'll be many in that day that'll say unto me, Lord, Lord. But Lord, I've done that. You know, I've always, I'm Lord, Lord. Depart from me. I never knew you. Sad day in their heart and life. What to do? Would you pray with me? Maybe in your heart, maybe in your life, you say, well, yeah, I believe there's a God up there. But do you believe that that God up there loved you enough that he gave his son? And his son loved you enough that he obeyed the Father? And he took upon himself the form of a man, and he come and lived and died on a cross for your sins? And he said, whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you reject that, and you come up with your own way of works and doing things, you're living a lie. There's not but one way to heaven, and that's God's way. And that's by the way of the cross. When he gave his son, he come and died on that cross. When he saved me, he reached down there at the foot of that cross, and the blood that he shed there, he dipped his finger there and wrote my name in that Lamb's Book of Life. And I know that I'm a child of God. Do you? Maybe time to get rid of that lie and get down to the reality that we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you know every heart here. You know the need of that heart. I pray there's one that knows you not as Lord and Savior. Come and let me pray with them. Maybe they want to just come to these altars and kneel and pray and get some things right in their hearts and their lives. Whatever it may be, this is your moment, Lord, to visit our hearts and set us free from the sin and wrong of our hearts and our lives. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we going to sing, brother?
Come just as you are.
Let's stand together.